Father, we just thank you today as we open your word that you're always abundant toward us. And you bring great great blessing to us through through the prophets and through the apostles and through your word. And we thank you that as we open the scripture today that you're going to bring great relief and blessing to us, cause us to walk in the truth that sets us free. Because in our setting free, it's already been accomplished in the Spirit. Those of us who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we've already been set free from the top to the bottom. There's nothing that can by any means hurt us. And so today, Lord God, we're thanking you that we've been born from above and that we live for Jesus. And Jesus is living for us. He's in us and through us and transforming us daily. And we thank you, Lord, that the Word of God transforms us, according to Romans chapter 12. The Word of God is transforming us from one degree of glory to the next. And as we allow the Word of God, as we receive the Word of God, it comes on the inside of us and changes us and makes us brand new. It gets rid of all the old things that were thought wrong, the old things that thought according to the ways of this world. Now we think about according to the ways of the kingdom of God. Even though we're still in this body, even though we tend to still get run over by trucks and things happening in the world, things tend to still try to come against us and attack us and knock us down. But we're not knocked down. We're not knocked down. We're in fact standing straight up, Lord, because you have every day caused us to walk according to your peace and to walk according to your will. So no matter what it looks like, no matter what things appear, even if they appear to really, everybody looks at me and says, "Wow, you're in big trouble." I'm not in big trouble because the living God and the Holy Spirit have caused me to walk according to your will and walk according to your joy and walk according to your peace. So we just give you praise and thanks as we open this scripture today that you're showing us exactly what you've done on the inside of us and then how that begins to change us on the outside. In Jesus' name, amen. And everybody said amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. This is exciting, isn't it?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, you haven't said anything yet. Well, amen. You should be come to church excited, just ready to receive the Word of God. Amen? Well, that guy speaks kind of slow. Or, you know, you could complain about, you know, what suit he's got on. Or you could complain that he's got a suit on. Or you could complain that he's walking around in blue jeans. You know, there's all kinds of things that the enemy could use to distract you from hearing the Word. Amen? I mean, you know, well, if it's not the preacher, it's this person sitting next to you or down the row from you. Well, how come they don't have their mask on? Why is that person wearing a mask? We don't have to wear it in here. You know, all kinds of things. You ever notice there's all kinds of distractions that the enemy can do on you to keep you from receiving what he wants you to hear? I can imagine, you know, the crowd of 5,000. Jesus is talking and somebody over here is playing with a fish or, you know, somebody over here is doing something and says, "Hush, stop that. I'm trying to hear Jesus." You know, just relax. I just want you to relax and know that God's going to get His Word to you. Amen?
Amen.
He's going to get His Word to you.
Yes.
It's okay. Amen. You know, we just think about so many things. Amen? You ever thought about that? What did I just say? You ever think about that? We just think about so many things. You know, what it says in the Scripture, you know, Martha, Martha, you're worried about so many things. You know, Jesus is talking to Martha. Mary has chosen the better part. He wasn't rebuking Martha for not being as good as Mary. You know, a lot of time we think that, you know, well, you should be like sister so-and-so. No, his love was toward Martha. He was removing a burden from her. He wasn't telling her that Mary was better. He's just saying, Mary's chosen the better part. Stop worrying about so many things. Come sit right here at my feet.
Amen.
Because there are many times that you're not sitting at Jesus' feet. You're busy doing stuff for Him. He said, "I don't want you doing stuff for me." Jesus, how many know Jesus doesn't want you doing stuff for Him?
Amen.
He wants to do stuff for you. Now, He's going to use you, but it's already after you're already at peace. Amen? He's not trying to get you to do stuff to please Him, you know, to make Him happy. Well, Jesus will be happy if I'll do this, or He's not happy with me if I don't do that. No. Now, he wants you to be at rest and at peace and completely settled. Amen?
Thank you, Jesus.
The Bible tells us he wants us to be settled.
Hallelujah.
That all things are going according to, everything's going according to plan. All things are going according to his will. You know, it sounds like, oh, there's too many things going on awful in China, or there's this COVID going on. And over in Psalms chapter 2, you know, where he says, the kings of this world are ready to go. They've got all their tanks and everything ready to go. They join up together against the Lord and his anointed. And the Lord's, what's he doing? He's not wringing his hands. Oh my gosh. I hadn't planned on this. No. No, he saw it all from the beginning. Is that it's never been a problem. Yeah, you kind of wonder how come the devil's as dumb as he is. Amen? Then you wonder how come we're dumb as we are. You know, because, I mean, if the devil's dumb, we must be dumber because we believe him.
Yeah.
Amen? Well, here he comes! Yeah, he's coming to get me. You know, and no, he's not coming. Even if he was coming to get you, he can't get you. You don't have any handles on you because you don't have any sins. Well, yeah, I got tons of sins. No, you don't have any sins. Shut up. I got all these sins. No, you don't have a bunch of sins. Now, obviously you do. You know, if I'm looking at you, obviously you do. But Jesus doesn't see them.
Amen.
Jesus doesn't see your sins.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. He said, I got rid of those sins. What are you talking about, silly? You know, you're just also worried. You're just also worried about your sins. Amen. Don't let Jesus, just give it to Jesus. Jesus has got so many sins. I've taken care of them.
Yep.
I've taken care of them. And the one you thought you just saw, I'm taking care of that one too.
Yeah.
I'm taking care of that one too. Just praise me. Just worship me. Just thank me for the finished work. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1. This is really good because you remember these are letters, right? Everybody remember these are letters. They don't have chapters in them. Well, they do right here. Well, they did that just so you could find the verse. Okay? They just cut it up into chapters and verses so you could find, you know, you could go right to it. But these are letters. These were letters that were written to the churches. They would mail them, you know, like the post office. They're giving them a bunch of grief right now, you know. So, but they even had letters. People carried these letters to the elders of the churches, and they would carry these letters over there, and then they would read the letters among the congregations. Of course, a lot of the churches in the New Testament, they were most of them were house churches. They had churches in their houses. All right, so they would carry the letter, either copy it, or they would carry the letter from house to house. The elders would share it. Elders in a city would meet together, and then they would share the letters, and they would read them to the church. Because they didn't have buildings, because it was illegal for the church to have buildings, because they didn't like much like the church, you know. So they would have to meet in somebody's house, and they'd generally meet like at 6 a.m.
Wow.
Or maybe at 5 or 6, you know, because Sunday was a work day, you know. Sunday was, you'd go to work, you know, and so you'd meet early in the morning. So, you know, we wouldn't meet at 9, we certainly didn't meet at 11, you know. Only reason we made it at 11 was everybody had their chores to do at 6. At 6, and then they had to walk to church in town, or get in the wagon and ride the wagon to town. You know, so these days we, you know, just church at 11 is just a luxury. You know,
right.
it used to be you'd go to church at 11 because that's as soon as you could possibly get there after doing all your chores. So they would go to church and they would share these letters. And that's how easy it is, by the way, to get off on a rabbit trail. I just want you to know. That's how easy it is. We went from talking about the letter to the Ephesians to talking about doing farm chores and going to church late. So, I tell you can just fall. It's easy to do. Don't judge your pastor. You know? Please. Because you always want to say everything you know. It's just, you know, it's a thing. I think you probably understand that too, don't you? Don't you want to always say everything you know? I mean, you got one shot. Especially if you got one shot a week, you just got to say everything you know. So these letters, that Paul wrote, and if you look at them, if you look at it, the letter to the Ephesians, the letter, especially, now Galatians is a little bit different, but the letter to the Ephesians, Philippians, the Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, is when he's writing these letters, typically what he ends up doing is he describes your man in Christ. He begins by describing what Jesus has done, what the Father has done. And then at the end, toward the end of those letters, he begins to talk about what the result is and what the finished product is of what Jesus has done. In other words, what God did on the inside of you, here's what it looks like when it's completed. And that's when we find all the things that people typically want to preach on. Therefore, do this. Therefore, do this. So most preaching is, therefore, do this. And most preaching should be, just let Jesus do the therefore. Because the do this is what Jesus is doing. And you just watch it. Amen. You're just watching what he's doing. Woo! You just got on the, you just, it's like getting on the roller coaster at Six Flags. And you just ride. You know, and sometimes it goes, you know, left. And sometimes it goes right. Sometimes it goes way up. And, you know, then sometimes it goes all the way up. Click, 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 click. And all of a sudden it goes woo, woo, down real fast. Okay? So you're getting along for the ride. But here's what Jesus has already done. Because that car is connected to that rail. And it ain't coming off. So no matter what the ride's like, Jesus has got you. Amen. You're locked into that car. You're just fine. Everything's going your way. You're going to come out at the end. I think they used to have a sign at the end of it. You ride hard and you come out wet. Oh, that's the log ride. You know? And so that's what you're going to do. You're going to ride hard and come out just refreshed. Amen. You believe that? I think I'm going to ride this life hard and I'm going to come out refreshed. Everything's going my way. Amen. So that's what these books are talking about. It's saying, here's what Jesus has done, and here's what it looks like when he's doing it. So he just doesn't give you commandments to go do. He actually does them. Amen? He does them. He actually does what he has already designed and put on the inside of you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, he put those, it's like, you know, the Mustang. Put all that horsepower under the hood, and you know, you don't even know you got it, you know. And he's got you. You got all kinds of horsepower that he's got. Amen. Because he's in you. He's in you. Amen. You don't even know what you can do. You don't even know what he's going to use you for. You just let him do it because you didn't used to be that way. Somehow you didn't used to be what you are now. Because over in 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're in Ephesians 1. Believe it. And over in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, any man who is in Christ, any person's in Christ, is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Well, it just looks like me in the mirror. No, it's all new equipment. You got all new equipment on the inside. God's just, he transformed you and made you brand new. You don't even know it until he rises up on the inside of you. Just begins to cast out demons. You begin to lay hands upon the sick. Amen. You begin to preach the gospel. I mean, these disciples, they started, you know, they said 2 or 3 words and all of a sudden 5,000 people show up. Huh? Amen. Well, it didn't happen when I preached. That's okay. God's doing things with you. It doesn't matter what it appeareth. It doesn't matter what it appears. God's doing things on the inside. Don't look at what you do or don't do. Look at Jesus. Let him do what he wants to do. Don't compare yourself. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. He doesn't care about you comparing yourself to anything else. He has a mission for you. Amen. He had the mission for... Just stay in Ephesians chapter 1. It's okay, we'll get there. All right. Yeah, he had the prophet Ananias when Paul got knocked off his horse. Ananias, he calls him up. Ananias, I got a thing for you. I mean, did we ever hear from Ananias again? Now, this wasn't the guy that got knocked down for the money thing. This is Ananias. He comes and God calls him and says, hey, I need you to go over to lay hands on this Paul guy. You've probably heard of him. Yeah, he's the guy who's killing all the Christians. Yeah, I need to go see him. I just saved him, and you're going to lay hands on him. I blinded him, and you're going to give him his sight, and you're going to give him this word. Would you ever hear from Ananias again? Not in the Bible. I'm sure a lot of people heard from him. I'm sure he did a lot. But you only heard this one thing in the Scripture. But it's okay. See, you don't have to have notoriety. Yeah. All you have to have is obedience. Obedience is not so God will like you. And it's not so God will give you brownie points. It's not so God will be happy and pleased with you. He is pleased with you. Because He created you. He created you. He did the chiseling. He made your little face just the way you wanted it. Or if He was painting, He painted your face the way you wanted. He set you, He created you just the way that He wanted you. He is pleased with His own work. He's pleased with His own work. He didn't call you to critique the work that He did on you, did He? No. He did not call you to critique His work. Let's see, Jesus, if I were you, I would have made me about a foot taller. You know, I probably have critiqued Him on that occasionally. You know, I don't know what Janet thinks, but you know, it just, you know, when I stand up next to Dan, I'd like to be able to measure up, you know, or certainly Willis, you know, play basketball. I can't play basketball with Willis. He's just, I wouldn't win.
You can now.
I can now because of Jesus. That's right.
We all get a new body.
See? Hey, we all get a new body. Is it different? Is it taller than this one? Amen. So all of these things, you don't get to critique what Jesus did. You don't get to critique it. I'm sorry. You don't need to. You need to let, because God created you in the way that it pleased Him.
Amen.
He created the kangaroo that way.
Yeah.
Right? Remember when He created all the animals and had Adam go out and name them all? Yeah, He created them all that way. A little platypus. Can you imagine a platypus looking in the mirror and going, "Oh God, were you upset that day? Were you angry that day when you made? I mean, the duck-billed platypus. I mean, he's short. He's got little webby feet. He's got a duck bill. I mean, he said, "I wanted to make some. I was in a very creative mood that day." And you could just say that. Say, God was in a very creative mood when He made me.
Yeah.
Amen. Isn't that right, Cynthia? He's just in a very creative mood the day He made you. Praise the Lord. Not because you're a platypus. No. It's because He loved Raul.
Careful, David.
Gave me a perfect... See, I know how to get out of this stuff. Amen. I'm just loving it. And I know Cynthia loves me, so I'm okay. I'm okay with that. So I wouldn't do that to Dee, because you know I'm not sure where she's at. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. She's in Jesus. That's where she's at. Amen. Hallelujah. Is that right? Hallelujah. So over in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and to the saints, or to the saints who are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Jesus Christ. So he's writing this letter to these folks. All right? Who's he writing to? He's writing to the saints. Not the sinners. He's writing to the saints. And to the faithful who are in Jesus Christ. So he's writing to everybody who's showing up at the church. He's writing to everybody down there. And he's writing to encourage them. So he's an apostle. So he's declaring what God told him. Said, I'm an apostle. How is he an apostle? By his own, you know, reckoning or his own understanding. He's an apostle by the will of God. God anointed him and called him as an apostle to the nations. Well, how do you know that? Is because God's because of the evidence. You know it because of the evidence. You don't know it because you sit in your living room and ask God to make you an apostle. You are an apostle only after the evidence has been, you know, the evidence is in, right? In other words, you've started churches all over the known world. You have been, you go back and you encourage them, and you build up the, and you've anointed leaders, and you go back and you encourage them, and you fulfill the role of the prophet, and you fulfill the role of the pastor, and you fulfill the role of the evangelist. So you're an apostle by the will of God, and you're an apostle only because somebody, because you do the work of an apostle. All right? And so he's an apostle by the will of God. That's the only thing. You're whatever it is that God called you to by the will of God. And to the saint, and so he's writing to the saints, and those of us who are born again, those of us who are born into Christ Jesus, baptized into the Lord, and to the faithful in Jesus Christ. The faithful, what are the faithful? Those who have put hope in Jesus. Amen. Doesn't mean those who are perfect. Doesn't mean those who have done everything right. It means your faith and your hope to do anything right is in Jesus. So he said, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not just a sweet greeting like howdy folks, but he is actually declaring a blessing on you. You can go back to this verse every time you read this. You can read that every morning. Grace be to you and peace. Just receive that. If I were to say to you, grace be unto you and peace from the Lord from the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, you take a big drink and you go, amen. Yes, yes, yes. I want you to receive that. Grace, peace, the power and the mercy of God and His peace belong to you right now. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what's going to happen on Monday morning, His grace and His peace belong to you. It's a blessing. It's an impartation to you. I've been wondering looking for that word all week. It's an impartation to you. He is imparting this to you. Amen? That's what he's doing. It's like a wave. It's just going to come overtake you right now. Amen? So I just want you to receive that. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's going to begin to describe the circumstances. God bless you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us,
hallelujah,
with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Father has blessed us. They're talking about specifically about the Father, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So,
hallelujah.
There's a lot in there. Because He's blessed you in heavenly places in Christ. Another place He says we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you are actually in heaven from the heart, positionally. You are already in the presence. Where is heaven? It's in the presence of the Father. You are in the presence of the Father. I want you to meditate upon that. You're in the presence of the Father right now. You're in the presence of the Father when you're sleeping. You're in the presence of the Father when you wake. You're in the presence of your Father when you're sitting right now listening to me this minute. You're in the presence of, you're not just in the presence of the saints. You're actually in the presence of the Father now. How? How are you doing it? Because you are in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Think of being connected to the, how can you get to that website way over there? Because you're connected to what? The local network, the local Wi-Fi. You're connected through Jesus Christ. You are connected to the Father and you're seated together in heavenly places. Because you are in Christ, you are in the presence of the Father. Amen. Right now and every day, morning, noon, and night, waking or sleeping, I'm in the presence of the Father through Jesus Christ. The whole network is working. If I can use that as an analogy, the whole network is functional. It's functioning. It doesn't go down. Amen. Your router don't go down. The Holy Spirit doesn't go down. Amen. You are completely connected to the Father. Now this book right here, this Ephesian letter, is describing to you exactly the conditions that you are living in, and that you, by which you live in Christ. You're in the presence of the Father because you're in Christ Jesus, and you're in His presence right now. And you are not at any time out of His presence. You don't kind of go in and out. Amen? You're in the presence of the Father. Are you enjoying the presence of the Father right now? Well, I thought I was just in church listening to that guy. No, you're in the presence of the Father. If you can hear what the Lord is saying, then blessed are you. Happy are you. Amen. So I just want you to enjoy that for a minute. Enjoy that paradigm, because, you know, we change. The paradigm is now changed for you. You know, the enemy wants you to believe that, well, you're just barely hanging on, living in this world, putting hope in Christ. And your hope in Christ is as far as you can stretch to try to reach to Jesus. That is not the Bible.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You know, God is still far away. It's like, you know, so many times in the religious traditions of the past, you know, the folks would come into the big, big church, and they would set out way back from the big altar. The big altar was way up there, where Lynn's sitting right there, and it's big and fancy, and it's all silvery, and you know, it's got gold, and it's got glass, and it's got all the stuff. That's where God is, and you're sitting back here on this wood bench. Just kind of looking in and hoping that some little sprinkle would come your way. No, you're sitting up there. They made heaven up there at the front, and somehow wired in the world of you way back in the backpack. No, you were sitting up there with that guy in the big robe with the big hat on, with, you know, the priest. You're sitting up there. You're a king and a priest in the heavenly places right now. Because those days, and those days are still today where, you know, you may not have, in some of the churches, you may not have all the gold and silver up there. Some do. Have the guy sitting on a throne up there. And you're in a condition, and they don't intend, and some folks, they don't intend to. It's their traditions that have put that condition in place, and what happens is that people are just barely looking in. They're on the outside looking in, hoping to get a little bit of Jesus. That is not good. That's not, you know, what you need to hear is you're already seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, sitting there with the throne. David looked for the house. King David put out a call he wanted to bless anybody who was left out of the household of Saul. You remember? And there was one little young person called young man named Mephibosheth.
Yeah.
With a name like that, you know, who needs enemies? Mephibosheth, and he was crippled because his nurse had, they were running from the enemies, and his nurse dropped him. And then I think she ran over him, and he became crippled. And so they took him around, and from that point on, he was crippled. And they finally found him. They located him. And David said, bring him over to my house. He's going to eat at my table until for the rest of his life. And so that's what Jesus has done. He went and got you, found you crippled. He said he's going to come eat at my house. And I'm going to take care of everything for him until for the rest of his life. That's what he's doing with you.
Hallelujah.
In fact, but David wasn't able to heal him, but Jesus even healed you.
Yeah.
Amen. You're eating at his table, and he healed you. You're no longer crippled. And so that's what he's doing with you. Amen. So you are in the presence of God. You are in his presence. I just want you to enjoy that. Tonight, this afternoon when you go home, or when in the morning when you wake up, you're in the presence of God. It takes a little while to kind of get wrapped around that. You got to meditate on it for a while, and let the Holy Spirit just give it to you again and again and again and again and again. Amen. And you get back in this Word, and you let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Joe, it takes a while, doesn't it?
Yeah, a lifetime.
Amen. Don't depress people. Just, you know, it'll happen tomorrow. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Joe is only 22.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, man, once you get to a certain point, I think you should just start backing up. Don't you?
No, I want to go on.
Oh, you want to go on? Okay. I just mean the numbers. Amen. Maybe once you get to 50, you start going 49, 48, 47. Dan.
David, thank you. Thank you. It's very rare that someone will stand in front of the believers and say, just take some time to reflect on where you are. And so I appreciate you. I appreciate you doing that, allowing us that experience, basically of faith again. There may be some little feeling, but whether there is or not, faith says that is where we are truthfully, absolute. And in that experience or in that time period that you've been doing this, it also becomes even more real.
Amen.
When you are understanding Galatians 2:20, that he's my life, that I'm not only in his presence, he's in me. So while you were allowing us that opportunity, then I am communing back and just closer than I am to you or to Karen or to Joe or Andrew. I'm communing continually with him as my life, as my presence, as my Lord, as my lover, as my Savior, as my everything.
Yes. Absolutely.
But like you say, that takes time.
Yeah, amen.
But it becomes more prevalent. I can at least speak to that on more of a practical through the day walk.
Yes.
Or walk and or immersion. So thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Because rarely is that offered.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. Well, you know what? You do what the Lord tells you to do in a moment. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. If you're blessed by that, happy are you. Amen. So just enjoy that. Thank you, Dan, for sharing that. Thank you, thanking the Lord for, you know, without looking at your mirror. Just like James chapter 1 says, you're looking in the wrong mirror. You know, you walk, you go your way, and you forget what kind of man you are. You forget what kind of person you are. Because you're looking into the perfect Word of God and the perfect law of liberty, and he goes his way, and he forgets who he is. Don't forget who you are, because circumstances and daily living will make you forget who you are, and then you'll just begin to unravel. Anybody been like that? Just kind of unravel based on what the circumstances of the day are, and the circumstances of the day have no impact. Listen, they have no impact on your relationship with Jesus. On your relationship with Jesus. Now, they may have some kind of an impact on your thought process, your thought life, and how much you think that God met your needs. But that's your brains. That's your soul. That's your the man that has been educated by this world, and he wants to have a big argument with the Word of God. Amen. The enemy wants to have a big argument with the Word of God. In fact, your soul and your flesh wants to have a big argument with the Word of God. And just come to the point where, no, just to declare, you lose. Before the argument ever begins, talk to the flesh. The flesh, he loses. We're not going there again. You ever had this kind of relationship with somebody who is just continually? I mean, every time you meet with them, it's just the same old gripe, same old complaint, same old whine. I was talking to somebody yesterday. Their relationship with this particular person is like every time they come together, it's just never better. It's just all the same. Well, for your part, that's over. Doesn't matter what that person is doing. They're where they are. It doesn't matter where they are. You have become Jesus to them. You're no longer, you know, Janet to them. You are Jesus to them. And so no matter what they come at you with that had to do with you, that's over because you're dead. Whatever they're angry about is in you, you're dead. And the person that they wanted to be angry at, I mean, tell them to go to the cemetery and go yell at the tombstone because that person is dead. Amen.
Amen.
The person that they're mad at is dead.
Right.
Hopefully. Hopefully you're not still working on that same stuff. You're done. You love them. You love that person. No matter what took place in your relationship in time past, you're done. It's because you're loving them now. You're loving them the same way Jesus does. You're a lover of people. Even the people who hated you at the beginning. Even the people who were your enemies in your family. Or in your work, or in your relationships, and your people, and your friends, and the people who did you wrong. You know, those are relationships too, right? People from your past who did you wrong, and they just still have a rope tied to you. You know, they have really no other relationship except for the fact that you or them did the other one wrong, and you're still tied to them somehow. And so Jesus has cut that off. Amen. And the Father wants you to know that that's true. That's right. Yeah, it's been cut. Amen. That line has been cut.
Yes.
You no longer have that relationship with that person. Amen. So don't even agree to it. See, there's sometimes you ever watch some of these debates or some of these interviews that people will ask a question. Well, the question's a gotcha to begin with, but it's got a premise. It's got a certain assumed set of conditions tied to the question. Well, since this is the case, why did you do that? Or what's about this? The conditions in that relationship I've been describing no longer exist because that person is dead. That is you. The person who's been born from above, that person is dead. And so therefore, whatever you did to that individual, it's over. It's gone. It's done. And so, but they don't know that. They're just going to carry that thing on. They're just going to, because they can still see you living and breathing, they're going to assume that you're the same person and they're going to continue to come after you and get you. Are you going to buy that? Are you going to buy into that? Sometimes it's hard not to, because I mean it's face to face, it's person to person. I get that. All right? But that's what the change is. The change is you're seated together. You're seated in heavenly places. You're blessed with all spiritual Amen. Blessings in heavenly places. How'd you get there? Because I'm in Christ Jesus. So the Father's blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places because I'm in Christ Jesus. And so I'm enjoying that relationship right there. And I become a pipeline for that person who's holding me in bondage. Right? I'm a pipeline to them. No, I am no longer a punching bag for them. I am, in fact, tables have been turned, and I'm now a pipeline for the blessings of God on that person. Do you know they're no longer your enemy? They're no longer your enemy. They're a target. They're a target for the blessing of God. The person who has been your enemy is now a target for the blessing of God through you.
Hallelujah.
Well, I don't know if I believe that. That's just a little far-fetched. Well, some people don't believe the story of Noah either. Some people don't believe the story of that axe handle that floated. You know, when it fell off the axe, you know. Some people don't believe the power of God. I'll tell you what, you are a pipeline to every man, woman, and child on the planet.
Amen.
No matter whether they, especially the ones who have had something against you and desired your death or destruction or your failure. Amen. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm setting you free.
Praise the Lord.
I believe the Lord is setting you free right now from hurts and bondages. Amen?
Yes.
And the fact is, you're changed. You're a new creation. Old things have passed. That's what that scripture says. Is, you know, I'm a new creation.
Hallelujah.
I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. Hallelujah. You know, and again, so what I'm saying is, ultimately, every time that word comes to you to say, hey, aren't you that person who did that? No, that person did.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah. So I just want you to just daily enjoy the presence of the living God on the inside of you.
What if it happened recently?
Huh?
What if you did an offense to somebody recently when you were already walking with the Lord?
And
still dead?
Absolutely. Yeah, you're still dead. That was just the flesh. You still have one of these. Janet says, what if it occurs and appears? Well, you're not dead. You just got me.
happened recently.
That's what I'm saying.
As you're walking in the Lord, not 10 years ago.
Yeah, and you did something
I
to somebody.
That person's from 10 years ago. Yeah. What if you did it last week?
Yeah, well.
You're still free?
You are still free. It's just faith. Amen? It's faith. Because you, first of all, if you've done something that's worthy of death, like, you know, punching somebody in the face or with your words, you know, or responding. You're talking about that, like responding to somebody.
That created the.
Do you have something in mind?
No.
Okay. Did it involve your husband?
No.
Okay. Praise the Lord. It's something I know about. It's 20 questions. This is something I know about. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Counseling will be available after the service. Amen. You know, He's blessed you with all spiritual blessings.
Hallelujah.
In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, all blessings begin in the Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Begin when you be born again. They begin from the point at which you are born again. And they begin to grow. Sometimes blessings take a little while. The ones you're, well, when do I get that one? Well, that sometimes they take a little while. Why do they take a little while? Because you're immature.
Yes.
I mean, you know, what if He gave you the power to, you know, do amazing things? Well, you'd probably do like a little 5-year-old and go over and, you know, see what this looks like when we blow this up, you know. If He gave you firecrackers, you'd blow up the cat or something, you know. You know, just to see. Well, just to see if it works. You know how people are with new toys. They just want to see if it works.
Right.
You know, that's what it is. You know, it's God would just. You don't want to have that kind. God doesn't want to give you that because you don't know what you're doing. Amen. But spiritual blessings begin in the Spirit. Spiritual blessings begin in the Spirit. Amen. They do. They begin in the Spirit. And so you begin to have that relationship with the Holy Spirit, with the living God. And He's your Father. He's your Father. All right? Okay. Now, verse 4. According. So those spiritual blessings in heavenly places are according or in line with as He has the fact that He has chosen us. I choose Alex. Oh, you know. Remember when they were choosing for kickball? You know? You can tell that's my old thing, you know. Choosing for kickball in elementary school. Let's say they look at all the folks that are going to choose for their team. They choose that person, that person, that person. That they seem to go right around you. You know, and the last guy left is, okay, fine. You know, they'll take you last, you know. Praise the Lord. I had to forgive a lot of people. I just had to say, amen. So according as, but Jesus chose me first. Amen. There wasn't any other people to choose, and He chose me. He chose me first out of a whole group. Having according as He has chosen us in Him.
Glory to the Lord.
In Him. Now I want you to go back and read this again, okay, will you? Say yeah. Just nod your head, say okay. Yeah. I'm going to go back and read this chapter 1. Because it's the most amazing chapter, one of the most amazing chapters in the New Testament, is reading Ephesians chapter 1. Because it talks about in whom and in Him. He's chosen us. In whom and in Him. All of these things are in you, in Him, are in Him. Everything that He's talking about has been done because I'm in Him. So, if you'll just read it, and you read it slowly, you know, a lot of times when we read Scripture, you ever done your Scripture reading for the day? Thank you, Jesus. I've finished my Scripture. Amen. You know, it's like to put the stamp on that page and... God is happy with me. It's like the Sunday school star. You know, you get your Sunday school star for the day. You know, Jesus couldn't care less about your star. He wants you to meditate upon His Word. He wants you to meditate on Him. He wants you to read the letter He wrote to you. He didn't want you to read your Scripture verse. He wants you to read the letter I wrote you. Because the letter I wrote you is a love letter. Yes. And I want you to hear everything I'm saying. I want you to hide it under your pillow. I want you to read it over and over and over and over and over again, because you know that I love you, and I've expressed in this letter everything that I've done for you, and I want you to have it, and I want you to, it's part of it, it's my last will and testament. I want you to read every paragraph and see what I've given to you. See what I've given to you. Amen? That's why they call it the New Testament. That's why they call it the New Testament. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's so good. It's tasty. It's tasty. We want this. So according as He has chosen us, this is verse 4, Ephesians chapter 1. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. When? Before the foundation of the world. When was Christ crucified? Before the foundation of the world. Amen. It wasn't like a last ditch effort.
No.
You know, God planned this. He had you in mind from the foundation of the world. He loved you. Amen. He had you in His mind when He wrote this book.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Well, no, I think He had so and so in mind. You want to encourage somebody? Listen, you want to encourage somebody? You know, you see all people all over the place, people who you know, you have no relationship with, but you see people just on the road. You see people down driving past you, who you know are just depressed out of their mind. They have problems galore. And you can't fix them. You can't convince them. But what you do is you give them the gospel. You can't fix people. Jesus fixes people. Because you can't live with people every day. You can't live with them and change them. But what you can do is give them hope. And then if the moment is right in their life and their heart, you know, you can't make somebody believe. But you give this to them and they try it. They taste it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Just taste it. And then they begin. Somebody, they don't get it right off. Somebody that they're not ready for it. Don't worry about it. You can't fix them. You can't fix your kids all the time on time. The time frame you'd like to. You can't do that. But this is what they need. Is the gospel. The good word of God. Why do I need to be... You ever talk to somebody who's dead day that don't even know why they need to be forgiven? Why do I need to be forgiven? I haven't sinned any more than anybody else. Well, theologically, that's not bad.
Right.
You know? It's like you're not a worse sinner than anybody else. You got a pretty good handle on the fact that everybody's a sinner. Well, why do I need to be forgiven? I think I'll go to hell because all my friends will be there. You know, you ever heard that one? You know, it'd be a big party. You know, but you got to have the Holy Spirit's got to meet that person, right? I mean, you can't. You know, you're not going to be able to talk them out of it because they've got their whole theology all fixed up, right? Because they're afraid of God and they've already created that theology. They've created a theology that works for them. They're not an atheist. They're a believer. But they're a believer that they don't need Jesus, or that God's expecting something of them that they could never do. And so they're just like, forget it. But you have the message, you have the word that says, you don't need to do a thing. Just show up. Just show up at the table. Just show up at the table, and God wants to give you everything. Don't even do anything. Don't even quit sinning. Just come to the table.
Amen.
And say, Jesus, Father, I'm a mess, but I heard you got a lot of good gifts for your children. Can I be one? He said, yep, you can. Do I have to do anything? Nope. Just believe that I love you. That's all they got to hear. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to quit being homosexual. They don't have to quit sleeping around. They don't have to quit drinking. They don't have to quit doing dope or whatever it is you do. You know, people don't like it when you say dope. You know, I don't know why. Maybe it makes me sound old. You know, well, you just don't understand. We got high quality merchandise. these days. You know, we've changed the marketing. It's no longer dope. We got smarter. That's right. No, you can't help that person. You can't change that person. But what you can do is you give them Jesus. You give them the real truth.
Amen.
The real truth is, you know, some people tell you the real truth is you got to straighten up. No, that's a lie.
That is a lie.
You could never straighten up.
That's right.
You could not. There's no way you could possibly straighten up, and there's no way I'm possibly going to get through this chapter. Because my wife is...
Not anymore.
You can't do that, you know. You can have an intention to do something. How many know you can have an intention to do something, but the Holy Spirit just may mess it up? How many know life may mess up your intentions?
Amen.
You need to not suffer over that. Amen. You need to not suffer over your good intention getting flattened. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Okay, now here's what's going to happen with that, the fact that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Here's the result. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love.
Glory to God.
Okay, that was the purpose for which He chose you. Boom. Okay? Who does that? You or Him?
He does that.
That you should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Where do spiritual blessings begin? In heaven. And how do they get on the inside of you? You believed, and He began blessing you. And the blessing began to take root. And the blessing began to... First the seed, the Bible says. First the seed, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Amen? First the seed, then the ear of corn, then the full corn in the ear. Don't start opening it up before the thing is ready for harvest. All right? So He's beginning to work. Spiritual blessings begin in the Spirit, and then they make their way out. You know, when Pastor Jim has the seven chairs up here, and we have number four is faith. That's the one where you walk in. You're born from above. Number five is growth. Number five is sanctification, or for lack of a happier word, suffering. What's suffering? Is that Jesus beating you up because He's mad at you? No. No, it's He's basically doing surgery.
Yeah.
He's pulling out all the garbage, and He's transforming and changing you into His image. And you know, suffering is basically when you're being changed from the inside out.
Amen.
You're being transformed. You don't look like you wanted to. It's almost like exercising. You know, anybody, that's probably a good thing. You done exercising, but boy, this is suffering. I mean, you're looking really forward to that workout again. You know, is that he's transforming you by removing all the junk, all the fat, you know, all the stuff that's on the inside of you that's killing you. Amen. Really, that's what suffering is for. Suffering is to get rid of all the garbage that's killing you. And He's doing that. But then He begins to use you. He's able to use you more effectively. Amen? He's able to use you more effectively because you're no longer focused on you. So much of suffering has to do getting rid of you. Getting rid of you looking at you. Because all your needs are supplied. You're not busy trying to supply your own needs anymore. He loves you. Your needs are supplied.
Amen.
Say it. My needs are supplied.
You're just practicing.
Hallelujah. You're just practicing. My needs are supplied according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Is it a prosperity message? Sure it is. Yeah. Because everything, inside, outside, all around the town, you are completely, completely, all your needs are met. Amen. See, you're not worried about how you're going to get your next meal. You may be in the very immediate future. But God is working in you to let you know that He has met all of your needs, and He is teaching you to thank Him, even though you still seem to be having to struggle to meet this need or that need, or have that person still in your life that you're having to deal with on a daily basis. Granted, that is what your experience is right this minute. But He is transforming you on the inside to where that is not becoming your focus. Amen. He's changing you. And you know that. And so you get back to the Word and you say, Father, thank You that You're transforming me, changing you, me, making me into Your image. I'm not worried about those things. I'm not worried about her. I'm not worried about him. And I know you may be married to him or her. But you're living, you're walking, and you're living in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in the presence of the Father. He is your God, your Lord, and He's taking you, and He's moving you into a brand new place, one degree of glory to the next. Does it take time, Dan?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, okay, just quickly here. Okay, all right. He's chosen us so that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That's verse 4. Verse 5, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. So through Jesus Christ, you are adopted. You're not Jesus' children, you're the Father's children. I just want you to know that Jesus is always interested in the Father. If you looked at in the book of Matthew, you go back to the book of Matthew, Jesus is introducing the Jewish people to the Father. He says, if you pray in secret, your Father in heaven will reward you openly. He's giving the Jews the idea that God is not a big judge in heaven, but He is their Father, their Abba. He would say, Abba, Daddy. Which is obviously the... What in the wild world was that? I don't even know what that is. No, I would not do that. Anyway, so what He's done now, He's not your judge, He's your Father, your dad. Your daddy, and He loves you. So He's telling them that. He's been their Father. And then Jesus is talking about in John, the book of John there toward the end, when He's talking about the Holy Spirit, He's also talking about the Father. The Father is going to care for you and take care of you. Your Father wants to give you all of these things. All right? So He's telling the apostles that, or the disciples sitting there at the Last Supper in John 13 through 17. All right? And then John 17, if you read that prayer, I mean, He's talking to the Father. That they may be one in us. Right?
Right.
So He's talking about the Father. So Jesus is telling you this. And so many people take... And I invite people to... Whatever you ask the Father in My name, Jesus said, I'll give it to you. Jesus was wanting to introduce you to the Father. So many people still just, they are in the habit of praying to Jesus. Now I think there might be a scripture in there that at some point, whatever you ask me, I'll do it. Yeah, and I get that. But the bulk of the New Testament is Jesus introducing you to the Father. And He wants you to talk to the Father. Amen? He wants you to talk to the Father. He doesn't want to protect you from the Father, because the Father's mad and He might get you. No, He wants to introduce you to your Abba. All right? He wants to introduce you to your Father. He wants you to come to the Father. Whatever you ask the Father in My name, I'll do it. Okay? Now, so you have you should be... The goal is that you should be holy without blame before Him in loving love. Verse 5, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself.
Hallelujah.
The Father. According to the good pleasure of the Father's will. That's His will. Is to adopt you and give you everything. You know, adoption is better than leaving you something. adoption because you get to enjoy everything while you and the Father are still alive. Right? You and the Father are still able to have a fellowship and have a relationship. That adoptive Father, He receives you unto Himself and brings you into His house. All right? Hallelujah. So He's predestinated us. That is, He's before ordained and arranged that this is the way things is going to be. Things are going to be. According to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glory, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved.
Yes. Hallelujah.
To the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of His glory, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. How many know? You're accepted today. Accepted. He's chosen you in Him. You're accepted. Oh, I'm accepted. I've been accepted. Pretend it's college. I've been accepted. They looked at my qualifications and I didn't qualify a lick. And they accepted me. You know, everything was wrong on that application and He accepted me. He didn't accept me because I was qualified. He qualifies the accepted. He qualifies the accepted. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Okay, we're going to stop right there. Everybody said, praise the Lord.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Father, we just love You and praise You and thank You. We go
yes.
give You praise.
Yes.
Thank You. We're accepted in the Beloved. We are accepted. And Father, You're daily showing us who we are. And that You have forgiven all of our sins, and that You're continually forgiven. You've forgiven them all, and then You're continually getting rid of the ones that are still lagging and the ones that are still hanging around. That they've been well implanted in our flesh, and we've been, boy, it's a tough one to get rid of, but you're a good weeder. You know how to get the weeds out from the roots, and you know how to grow a beautiful, beautiful garden.
Hallelujah.
So, Father, we thank You for growing a garden in me. Thank You, Lord, for growing a garden in me and taking out all my weeds because You are the gardener. I'm not the gardener. I'm the guy with the brown thumb. I'm the garden killer. But You're the garden keeper. So, Father, we just worship You.
Hallelujah.
We trust You. I trust You with my garden.
Faithful Lord Jesus.
And I'm not looking at the garden. You're going to bring me by in a few months and show me the garden. And I'm going to be so, so, so blessed. But Father, I thank You that I'm not busy looking at the garden. I'm just busy looking at You. I thank You that the Holy Ghost is working on the inside of me, transforming me, changing me. I no longer am tied to that person who has a trouble with me because I'm dead and they just don't know it yet. But Father, I thank You for making me a vessel to give them life. Make me a vessel to make that person, give that person life who doesn't even, who just is running from God because they think He wants something from them. He just wants to give something to them. Father, thank You that I'm a lover no matter who I see. I am a vessel of God and all my needs are supplied. And Father, when those things come up in my mind to say, well, it doesn't look like your need was met, that was the devil lying to me. And even if it appears evidentiary, showing up in person, that there is a need, I thank You for meeting that need. I thank You for teaching me that You will meet that need. Father, keep me from sin. Keep me from unbelief. And I give You praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank You for healing everybody this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Thank You for healing this morning. Father, healing bodies this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Thank You for healing bodies this morning. Thank You for healing COVID this morning. I don't even like that name. It sounds like David. You know? Father, we thank You for this COVID. I don't believe in COVID. It's something the people made up. Something they made up to scare me and come get me and get my eyes off of Jesus. Get my eyes on this world.
Thank You, Jesus.
I don't have my eyes on this world. I got my eyes on Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Father, thank you that you make me a lover of my brothers and sisters, whether I have to wear, whether a mask is appropriate or not, whether distancing is appropriate or not. Father, you, I thank you that you speak to me and I hear your voice. Because I'm your child, I'm your son, I'm your daughter, and I hear your voice. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're passing around the elements for the Lord's Supper, for communion. Hallelujah. I'm built up. I don't know about you. Amen. Y'all should try this.
Hallelujah.
Y'all should try preaching.
Glory.
It'll encourage you. Amen. Maybe you could just do that on your computer. You could preach yourself a sermon, then you could play it for yourself. That'd be great. You know, you can do all kinds of things. Silly stuff. But it just builds you up. Amen. I know Jack does. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. We're grateful that this building has opened up so we can meet together, aren't we? Amen. Bless these people as you go out. God bless you. Love you. Thank you so much for being here. We love meeting in your building.